It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Be sure to go to the website. Check out some people got for ad in their ad space up there. If you got something for sale, go ahead and pick one up. They're pretty cheap compared to everywhere else. And as always, if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, click the donation button up at the window, up at the top of the webpage, and send it our way. We need all the help we can get to keep us on the air. We are 100% listener supported. And as always, mainstream media doesn't tell you the truth, and they prove that every single week. One of the real big ones this week was absolutely amazing. It was Brian Stelter going after Tucker Carlson. You're going to remember that fat little bald bastard. He has no ratings left, you know, in the realm of network television, news networks. He has no ratings. He's lost over 70% of his audience. And now in a desperate grab, like a spurned girlfriend, he's out there making all kinds of accusations. Once again, just to get the attention that he wants. He ain't getting it. Nobody trusts CNN. As soon as Donald Trump stopped being president on January 20th, CNN lost all its ratings. People begin to see just how bad they were, aside from the fact they had nothing to really report. They're grasping at straws for everything. If you listen to people like Jim Acosta, but Brian Stelter just seems to take this like to a whole new level of idiocracy. I mean, it's unbelievable. Oh, the guy can't string a coherent sentence together without making himself look like a dope. He really does look like a child molester. I swear to God. Also, we have, of course, as always, the attack on our Second Amendment rights, which is ongoing. But we do have some champions in Congress, finally. It's nice to see that, not suddenly. Republican Rhino just paying lip service to his constituents just so he can get reelected again. And then when he gets back in office, doesn't do anything as usual. And of course, we always have massive amounts of COVID news because there's always more stuff coming out about how they basically screwed us over and what they're planning next. But I got to get to this speech. I was actually hoping, by the way, to have Wendy here on the show with me tonight. She didn't answer her phone, though, however, when I called her. I'll give her a call back here in a few minutes. But I've got to play this speech that was done on the House floor by Lauren Boebert, who just tore these people up. I mean, she's great. Now I would like to, hopefully she'll put this into action and not just get out there and be a little firebrand. And she's really good looking too, which doesn't really hurt. But she had some pretty good words to say. I'm sure it didn't appeal to any of the Democrats or the Rhino Republicans because they're just as much to blame for the situation as anybody. So I'm going to give you a little listen to her, and then we'll move on to some more firearms news, which is absolutely just the stupidity of these communists is just mind blowing.
Madam Speaker, I want to begin this evening by thanking my Democrat colleagues for their outstanding work in encouraging millions of Americans to celebrate their Second Amendment rights by purchasing their first, second, or even 100th firearm. From the left's riots in cities across America to Biden's threats to strip away our basic constitutional rights, Democrats are single-handedly responsible for the sale of tens of millions of firearms. Bravo. Well done. And I hear that the interest has begun to peak when it comes to the sale of F-15s. Now, I have some questions for these freedom haters. When are you going to call on the chief executive, the basement dweller, to hold his own son accountable for his gun crimes? Hunter Biden lied on a federal firearms application, which is punishable by up to 10 years and a $250,000 fine, of which 10% will not be going to the big guy. Rules for thee, but not for my crackhead, Parmesan-smoking gun criminal son. What about the disposal of Hunter Biden's gun in a back alley dumpster? And why was the Secret Service involved in locating this firearm? Can you just imagine for half a second if Donald Trump Jr. was involved in firearms crimes and his dad ordered the Secret Service to cover it up? That's just the start of the hypocrisy. Biden will call widely purchased firearms weapons of war, but then he'll tell you that you need an F-15 or a nuke to keep the federal government in check. He will target so-called merchants of death, but celebrate the 600 abortion clinics across America. This regime will encourage riots, defund the police, and try to take away Americans' right to self-defense. Madam Speaker, the American people are not on board with the Biden regime's hypocritical gun grabbing. Instead, they are buying guns at a record rate. So my colleagues from the other side, they can keep running their mouths, and we, We'll keep adding to our arsenals. Thank you, gentlemen. I yield back.
Okay.
Kill that.
So here's the thing. I don't know if anybody out there listening has ever gone to a firearms dealer to buy a firearm. Yes, you do the background check. Yes, you fill out the form 4473, and you are given very specific instructions on how to fill it out. And when I say specific, I mean right down to how you write your letters in the little boxes. Do not skip anything. Do not use abbreviations. Do not do anything. And this is from the firearms dealer while you're filling it out. At least it was like that when the last time I bought a gun from a firearms dealer. If you screw that up, that is grounds for you not getting to buy your weapon. You don't get to take possession of it. And then you have to start the process all over. And then now you have a rejection on your record. And they're going to say, why do you have a rejection? Oh, I filled it out wrong. Okay. But it'll still be there. If you did what Hunter Biden did in some states, which is dump, I think it's in all states, actually. If you dump your gun into a trash can, it is found by somebody else and turned in. That is a felony if you dispose of it on purpose. In that manner, that is really an egregious one in places like California, New York, Chicago, where they have the highest gun violence rate in the country right now. And of course, you'd never get Beetlejuice to agree to that. But you know, their idea is more gun crackdown because, you know, Chicago is such a wonderful city. And by the way, never drive through there. I just did that a couple of weeks ago. It's a nightmare. The traffic is actually moves compared to Los Angeles. It's just that it's so damn hot and humid going through there. Oh, and by the way, they have their big gay pride trans flag flying underneath the American flag, you know, overshadowing the city there. But the stuff that she was talking about, if you did that, you can get charged with a felony. You will lose your gun rights, which, by the way, in my opinion, the federal government doesn't have any right to take from you. Neither do the states. So all these gun laws that they're putting out there, and the rhinos aren't standing up for our rights. They're not aimed at the criminals. They love the criminals. This is like going right back to Bill Clinton, the Bill Clinton days in the 90s. They love the violence. They want to keep the violent rates going up so that they can have an excuse to create more gun laws. It's this Hegelian dialectic in practice. You know, we're going to create the problem. We're going to offer you this. Watch your reaction, and we're going to offer you a solution for it. And the solution is always, we need to take away more of your guns. Always. Without exception. And to give you an example of this, look at Governor Cuomo in New York. He signed the first ever in the country disaster emergency on gun violence after a wave of shootings. By the way, it's been his policies and the Democrats' policies in that city ever since Giuliani left that have created this problem of gun violence in the city. Nobody will admit that liberal Dems are miserable at running a city or a town or anything else. They screw it up. I've seen it in very small towns. You put some of these liberals in there, they screw that town right up. Next thing you know, the town, which had a surplus, maybe not a huge one. You know, you're not talking like a big metropolitan area where they rake in billions of dollars in taxes or millions of dollars in taxes. I mean, you're talking about a small town of like several hundred people, maybe 1,000 people. They have a surplus of money, just, you know, and they have some set aside. They're running their town really good. Oh, you get a liberal Democrat in there. So, you know, the town's in debt. You don't have funds for this. Suddenly you're finding that your rates are going up. You're being taxed more. We need to jack your property tax. We need to find other ways to make money off of you, and it becomes ridiculous and becomes this big self-serving, again, Hegelian dialectic. We create a problem, we offer you the solution, and it's never for your benefit. So what he went on to say is, you know, if you look at the recent numbers, more people are now dying from gun violence. By the way, there is no such thing as gun violence. I've never met a violent gun in my life, and I've shot all kinds of them, up to including 50 caliber. You know, not the ones you can go buy in the store, but the ones in the military with the little butterfly switch. It looks like a box with a big barrel sticking out the end of it. One of those. Okay, I've never met a violent gun. It's never the gun. It's always who's ever behind the gun and their intentions. That's where the violence comes in. But of course, you know, they're never going to frame it that way. So they're now dying from gun violence and crime, more so than COVID, so on and so on. I'll let you listen to this guy. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But he goes on to, and of course, allocate a bunch of money, $138 million, almost $139 million in state funding, which means the people of New York are now getting fleeced for a little more money. And he's got a 7-point plan. It's always amazing to me how they always have these pick a number point plan, a 5-point plan, a 10-point plan, a 7-point plan, or the new 5-year plan. There's always a point plan. So his 7-point plan goes like this: treat gun violence like the emergency public health issue that it is, which it's not. Right? It's not a public health issue. It's a criminal issue. And they refuse to take care of the criminals because they can use the statistics, as I just said. Let's see. Target hotspots with data and science. Somebody please tell me what that's going to do. I mean, is this the same science that the Democrats use and the liberals use that says there are more than two genders, that kind of hotspots? That kind of science, I mean? So you're going to target hotspots with data and science instead of having, oh, by the way, the defunded police department to go in there and try to take care of the crime. You know, to actually put the department in a position where they might get some of these guns off the street. But no, we have to target it with data and science because people will listen to data and science. All they're going to do is tell you, like, yeah, there's more. I've seen some of these data charts that police use when I spoke with some police officers in a police station one time. And they showed me the map of the town I was living in. And they would put these little dots on the map that says this is like this week's reported crimes. And so what they're going to do with this is they're going to have these little sections with a bunch of little dots on them. And they say, well, that's a hotspot. And it's like, yeah, well, everybody knows that. You're wasting more money. So positive engagement for at-risk youth. Positive engagement, like opening up youth centers, you know, for basketball, baseball, get them involved in some healthy activities, like number one, shooting. Shooting sports, by the way, is great for discipline. But since they're never not interested in any of that, hold on 1 second, everybody. Sorry about that. That would have just been annoying if I had let that go. That was my partner in crime, Wendy, who I am now going to bring on the show. Since she picks up. But, hey, Wendy, how's it going?
I'm good.
Hey, Wendy, everybody. Big round of applause. But let me finish off with this real quick. So they want to do positive engagement for at-risk youth. Meanwhile, they've locked everything down. There's nowhere for these at-risk youth to go. You know, they're forcing them to stay at home. They're forcing them into wearing these mask things all the time. They're forcing them into disengaging, never going to school, all this stuff. Where's the positive engagement in that? Again, they created the problem. Break the cycle of escalating violence. I would like to see them try because they created the problem. So how are they going to do that? They have every single time they've ever tried to do this kind of stuff of breaking the cycle, it fails. It fails miserably. Why? Because they don't want to. They need the crime statistics to be up. Get illegal guns off the streets. Well, that's kind of hard to do when you have the government shoving them out there. We won't mention any names, Obama, Fast and Furious. Keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. How's that working out, by the way? I mean, seriously, how is keeping guns out of the hands of dangerous people working out? They don't go through FFL dealers to get the, to get their guns. They buy them on the street. And when your own government is putting the guns out there, it's kind of hard to keep them out of their hands. And you can sit there and you can put this person up, for whatever reason, he's mentally ill, dangerously mentally ill. He has a history of psychotic or violence and whatever. Prohibited person, convicted felons and so on. How are you actually going to do that when you're the one putting the guns out on the street and want the crimes and the violence statistics to be so high? Oh, and here's the most laughable one of all. The police community relationship must be reformed. Reformed how? You're trying to defund the police. Cuomo supported Black Lives Matter effort to do just that. He spearheaded policies that loosened up the laws against violent criminals during the COVID nonsense. Okay, he created in New York the conditions. This, again, we go back to the Hegelian dialectic. I love using that as an example because it always happens. He created the situation in New York City. Giuliani, everybody ragged on Giuliani for how he handled New York City. And again, I'm not a huge Giuliani fan, but New York was safe. People didn't have an issue walking down the street. Unless you were, a gangbanger, known gangbanger, known criminal, whatever, the police would routinely stop you.
The crime in New York, Nick, by the way, is, I think, tripled.
Hard. Oh, yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. It's like 40-50% up or something. It's a very high number. And, in the city of Chicago, besides the over 100 killings in the city of Chicago a month, they have 150 carjackings
a week. Ridiculous.
In the city of Chicago. You cannot drive your car in the city of Chicago. You're risking your life. It's so dangerous. It's beyond belief.
Yeah, in New York City and Chicago alone, over 4th of July weekend, they had 94 shootings or 92 people shot.
Oh my God!
16 people got killed. Remember, they have extremely strict gun control. You cannot get a gun in Chicago for the most part. I mean, you have to be specially licensed for it. It has to be part of your job, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And they're offing each other in record numbers there.
Yeah.
But so Cuomo's using this crime statistics watching the people get more and more pissed off about the rise in crime and all the stuff. Meanwhile, he's busy shutting the whole city down during last year and all of that. And then so his solution is, I'm here to help you fix the problem that I created. That isn't, and it's not going to really fix the problem, but my solution is to trample on the rights of law abiding citizens. I mean, I'm not kidding. You gotta listen to this guy. He even sounds like a dick.
Your daughter's out there.
No, don't give me
can't do anything
to help for it. I just had this queued up.
He's the boogeyman.
Damn it, they're going to play this ad for like 25 seconds and I can't turn it off. Oh, never mind. Well, I can't turn it off.
It's okay.
Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. Okay, now I got it. Never mind.
We need a new model of public safety. That is clear. We need to restore the relationship between the community and the police. That is clear.
The one he destroyed?
And it's time to do it. It is time to do it. The community demands it. It takes thought. It's not easy. And John Jay, in many ways, is leading the way, and we're going to be partnering with them. So let's give them another round of applause. To Hazel Dukes, because I'm not forgetting.
Yeah.
2020. We don't want to go back there again. It was a year like we never saw before. And it was a year of crisis. The whole question for 2020 was just survival. We weren't living our lives. We
okay. You can listen to him drone on. This goes on for almost an hour, so I'm not going to play the whole thing. But you listen to what he said. We need to restore the, you know, the police and the community relations. And give me the one he destroyed, the one he backed destroying.
What do you expect?
Yeah, he handcuffed the police. They can't arrest anybody anymore. Look at California. I mean, people walking in the stores. This is how handcuffed the police are there. People walking in the stores, they'll empty a shelf off the store, and as long as it doesn't break $950, the police will not come because the DAs will not prosecute. They've been ordered not to prosecute.
You're going to have security at the doors going, hey, we need to see your receipts. I mean, that happens at Costco, and you walk into Costco at the end to say, can we see your receipt? I said, yeah, here you go. That's what they're going to have to do. I mean, when you used to go into Fry's, when you walked out, they'd ask you for the receipt. I guess these guys, you're going to have to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too, though. Unless it's like a Costco, which is a membership store, when you walk out of like Walmart and they can say, no, I need to see your receipt, you can tell them no.
If this is before they leave the store, though, Nick.
Yeah, you can still tell
them. When you walk
into
Fry's, when you walk into a Fry's electronics, before you even get out the store, they say, hey, we need to see your receipt. And you're like, yeah, here you go.
But here's
the thing. You don't go outside the store.
Yes, but here's the thing. You've already paid for your merchandise. And this is an argument I've heard. Okay. You've already paid for your merchandise. It's now your property. You do not need to prove that you own it. So,
okay.
I mean, I understand the whole
that's fine too, Nick, but also too, most of the stores now all have cameras. So as soon as somebody clears the shelf, I mean, I hate to say this, you're going to the front door.
Well, the thing is within California right now, if you went into like a Fry's or a Costco, you grab something off the shelf and you bolt out the door. Okay, what's Costco going to do? They're going to call the police. They might send a security guy after you, but they're going to call the police and they're going to say, well, how much did he get? And they're going to be like, I don't know, like last year, well, I don't know, he stole like one of those big packages of toilet paper. And how much is that? It's like, I don't know, $17. We're not coming. We're not even going to bother writing a report on that. So.
No, I know. But if you've got people clearing shelves, Nick, your own stores, you've got security, you're going to say, hey, man, you can't leave the store without this.
Yeah, Walmart, Walmart actually closed three of its stores up in the Bay Area because there was so much theft going on. And the DA in California, the Attorney General in California refuses to do anything about it. And the local DAs will not prosecute because of $950 threshold.
And face it, certain businesses are not going. Certain businesses, after big business like that, will stop. Will close stores, Nick. They won't be doing business.
They did it down in, I think it was in Orange County somewhere. They closed up one of their stores down there, and because it was underperforming, and because the state or the city, or the county decided that they were going to start raising costs for the store, and the company was like, well, we're already losing money on the store. We're just going to shut it down. And they're like, hey, you can't do that. We're going to lose all these jobs. And it's like, hey, again, they're creating the problem once again. Now they're going to have a bunch of people out of work.
I mean, it's a double-edged sword on a few cases. Absolutely. In a lot of circumstances.
Yeah. I was reading this book, the one that they based the movie Soylent Green on. By the way, the movie and the book are really not even close to the same.
Okay.
But they based it on it, and they were talking about how there became so many people that they just started using everything up. It wasn't, there's no work. Everybody went on the dole. Everybody started getting government handouts. That's how the government solved the problem. And so you had a bunch of people sitting around just waiting for their welfare cards so they could go out and get their stuff, their allotment of food every month. And it was kind of like, I'm reading this going like, this is starting to sound a little familiar. You know, they want everybody on the, they loved the COVID lockdowns. This is one of the whole things, the whole COVID lockdowns. They loved those. That gave them an opportunity to exercise authority that they don't have.
I totally agree. Listen, I was in a few stores. I wasn't wearing a mask at all, but there were still people wearing masks. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They're still going to.
They've done a number in California. They've brainwashed a lot of people in California.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, not just in California, but everywhere.
So
I mean, it's just beyond stupid. Oh, by one of the interesting parts of this whole, you know, when you want to talk about gun control and gun prevention, you know, of course, California with Gavin Newsom and such is, you know, just we need more strict gun control laws. That way the criminals won't have them. And people got to remember, gun controls are not about criminals. Okay. They're about the law abiding people. They're law abiding citizens. They're going to follow the law. And the laws are designed to disarm you. Every single one of them is unconstitutional. I can't stress that enough. But here is the height of irony. There was a news crew in Oakland, an NBC news crew in Oakland, doing an interview with Oakland's head of violence prevention, a guy named Guillermo Cepedes. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Over the fact that the city's Democratic leaders decided to divert $18 million away from the police, even though there was a spike in violent crime. Well, somebody came up to them and pulled out a gun and said, "Give me your camera gear."
Oh my God!
they were being robbed in broad daylight for all this stuff. He didn't get anything, but it's the fact that, you know, there's a guy, you know, with all their gun control laws and that don't work, and their violence prevention programs that don't work, and defunding the police. Now, of course, I can go on and on about the police department as well. You know, police department's got some bad people in it just as much as anybody else. You know, the police do not have a problem violating your rights if they want, but their presence there does keep the violent crime down. You know, you got, at least they can do that because they have the authority to go in and arrest these people. Whereas you, as a citizen, don't. Your only right that you have is if they get in your house is to shoot them. But they're doing all of these ridiculous things. They're setting themselves up, you know, to be able to institute more restrictive regulations and laws on everybody. And the irony, the guy comes up and tries to rob them at gunpoint right in the middle of their interview with the head of violence prevention, no doubt, no less. You know, you can't make that up.
No, you can't.
So, you know, let's just get it this way. The liberalism doesn't work. It never has.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a video. I mean, this is how bad it is. There's a video that came out of Chicago on this Chicago street where these guys pull up in a black SUV. They get out of the SUV. They start opening on fire on everybody around them. I don't know what the situation was, if it was a gang thing or whatever, but they pull out these semi-automatic rifles and open up, and some 1-month-old girl got shot, and, you know, a couple other people got shot. But it's like, when are they going? They're never going to figure this out. Don't hold your breath. Gun control. Number one, it's not only is it unconstitutional, it doesn't work. You know, my governor and these people in Wisconsin, they were all happy this week because we got a bill passed to be able to open carry. You know, I mean, this has been around, but I think you don't have to have a license or something for it. And you didn't have to have a license anyway. I'm trying to only find this to make sure I'm giving out the right information and not just trying to make this up, trying to remember what I read here. But they were all happy with this, and it had a lot to do with concealed carry. Oh, I know what it is. You can do your you can get your concealed carry license by filling out the forms over the internet.
Okay.
And everybody was saying, "Well, what a great idea! That's wonderful." Now, you're easing the process, and you know, you're making it accessible to people who can't, you know, get it any other way and all of that. And I'm just, my thought on it was, why do I need permission to carry concealed? Okay, where in the Constitution does it say that the government has any kind of authority over that whatsoever? Even the state government. See, in order to be part of the Union of States, you have to agree to adhere to the Constitution of the United States. A lot of these state constitutions even have that in their own state constitutions. It's written in some of their articles. The Supreme Court has ruled that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and I have yet to find out where it gives the authority to anyone to license me to bear arms in any capacity or what kind of arms I can have. Where are the, I mean, that clip I played of Lauren Boebert, that was great. But where's the argument for the constitutional side of it? Where's the argument that says, why do people have to have a license? I'm not talking about prohibited people, but law-abiding citizens, why do we have to have a license? Why do we have to go to the government to ask permission to exercise our rights? Same thing with the First Amendment, too, when it comes to the right to peaceably assemble. A lot of times you got to get a permit or the police move you out.
That's correct.
Like, I'm peaceably
assembling. I think the city wants to make a little money because they can sell you a permit for depending on what you're getting for.
Where's my right to peaceably assemble? I'm not, you know.
I think if it's over so many people or something, I guess that's what they're. If to be on the city, the town you live in, or county. So.
Yeah.
If I go to something like that.
I mean. They had some, and you know, in our president, he's no better. He's a babbling moron. I mean, he doesn't know where he is. I don't think he even knows where he is at any time at all. You know, I swear to God, he could be standing in front of the White House. Where am I? Hey, check that out over there, that big tall obelisk. Let's go over there and look at that. What is that? Where am I? What am I doing? You know, where's Corn Pop and where are the kids rubbing my legs? But he went on in that little clip that he made. Everybody knows it. They've all heard it. And he went on. He said that, you know, those who say that the blood of liberty, the blood of patriots, because he couldn't get that quote right either. You know, and all this stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not watered with the blood of patriots. What happened is that there's never been, if you want to, think you need weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. Well, I hate to break the news to Joe, but if you got the cash, you can own an F-15. You won't get the weapon systems, but you can own an F-15. And he said there's always been the ability to limit, to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it. He said that during the revolutionary time, you could not buy a cannon. Guess what? Yes, you could. You can buy a cannon today. You can buy a tank if you want to. I've seen people who've done it. Lemmy Kilmister used to own his own tank. Now, it wasn't like one of those multi-gazillion dollar Abrams tanks or anything like that, but you can buy a tank. You can own a cannon. They're not illegal. There is, according to the way that the Second Amendment was written, there is no limitation on the kind of arms you could have. Now, do I want people to go out there and make their own nuclear bombs? No, not really, because they'd be stupid enough to blow themselves up and everybody else with them. But there is no limitation on it. It doesn't say that. The Founding Fathers knew that as technology changed, armament would change, and these idiots who are making the arguments that it was all about muskets never saw the patent for the puckle gun, and some of them were actually made that was patented in 1718, or they never saw the revolver that was Italian? No, it wasn't Italian, but it was Belgian, I think. A Belgian revolver that was handgun that was built in 1592. And yet you think the Founding Fathers, who were smart guys, never heard of any of this stuff. Nope, it's all about the muskets. This is how stupid that argument is. The revolutionaries in our Continental Congress and our militia didn't use muskets. They used rifles. The barrels had rifling in them. They had better weapons than the British military. That was one of the reasons we actually got to beat them. So Joe Biden threatening us with F-15s and some nuclear weapons, I don't know. Is he the kind of president that we want? Doesn't know where he is. Do you really want that guy's finger on the nuclear button? I mean, hey, what's the big shiny red button? Hey, let's push it and find out what it is. Where am I? I mean, it's absolutely insane to have this conversation over and over again about firearms, because they never recognize the Constitution unless it benefits them. They never recognize any part of it unless it benefits them. And then they can twist it and say that they have the right, but you don't have the right. And it doesn't matter what it is. They have the right and you don't have it. And they will use whatever force is necessary to try to, I mean, they allow Black Lives Matter and Antifa to burn down cities, but you, as a patriotic American, you go out there with a bunch of people and suddenly you're surrounded by cops being told it's an unlawful assembly. And I'm talking firsthand experience on this, and you are being told to move out of the area. So that's actually really some of the ridiculous. So here's the other part of this whole thing when it comes to firearms and ammunition and weaponry and all of that. There's a National Guard captain here in Wisconsin. Somebody had a conversation and they told me about this National Guard captain. And the conversation went on to qualifying with their weapon. I don't know how you can't qualify with this thing. It's an M4. It's got the little dot sights on it, you know, that you, if you can't shoot with that, I don't know what to tell you. You probably shouldn't be handling a weapon, a fire, you know, a rifle or anything. But talked about the how much training that they get and the fact that they don't have any real enough ammo to train with it. They were on some of their pistol quals. They were dry firing, which is a stupid thing to do to a pistol. They were dry firing and saying, oh, yeah, it's good enough. Or, you know, I don't know if they had one of those little laser, dot things that when a hammer falls down, it pops a little dot on the target and, you know, a little laser dot on the target and they record it or something. I have no idea how they did that, but they're not trained. This is a National Guard. This is somebody who's working in the artillery units, not training them and not giving them the ammo. Now, here's the thing. One of the things that caught me when I was being told about this is this captain said that the reason that they don't have enough ammo for the National Guard is because it's all being bought up by the civilian market. And
that's not true.
No. Well, here's the thing. It can't be being bought up by the civilian market because there is no civilian market right now. There is no ammo on the shelves. I mean, some of it's coming back a little bit, but for the most part, you cannot find ammunition. It's right. Gone. There's none there. The last thing I saw was a few boxes of 9mm up on the shelves. It was gone within a day. Okay, their ammo is not being shipped out to the retailers for civilian purchase. It's not, and if it is, it's expensive. I mean, real expensive right now. So she said that, you know, the civilian market's buying it up. And I said, have you obviously never been to, to the person who was telling me this. I said, has she ever been to one of the retail stores lately? You know, sporting goods stores? There's no ammo. So my big question is, if they're not giving this to, and these guys are quasi-military, whatever you want to call them. But they still have to have their ammo, ammunition supplies and all that. And they can't train because they don't have any ammo. Civilian market isn't getting it. Where is all the ammunition going? What happened to it? A year ago, a little over a year ago, before the whole COVID thing started, there was ammunition all over the shelves. You didn't even have to think twice about it. It's like, there it is. This is what I want, and get a few boxes of ammo. Or, if you do reloading, hey, I need this, and whatever. But none of that's there anymore. Where did it all go? It couldn't have dried up in a year. Okay, this is this is being deliberately withheld. I can't tell you where it is, but I do remember when the Department of Homeland Security was buying up 2 billion rounds of ammunition. You know, by the way, which they said was, well, it's, you know, it's for our armed forces. And it's like, you're buying hollow point ammunition. The military is prohibited under the Geneva Convention from using hollow point ammunition on a battlefield. It's a war crime. Everybody agreed to it, so that can't be. It's a weird, and you call the ammunition manufacturers like Federal or, you know, whoever, you know, Winchester, all those people who are making this ammunition, they tell you, no, we're going full bore. We're cranking ammunition out. Okay, where's it going? Where is all the, who is, has this ammunition? Because it's not out there on the store shelves for people to buy. So I'm, you know, right at that point, you know, when this captain said that, you know, little red flags for, and I was being told about the conversation, little flat red flags were flying all over the place for me. Okay, this is, it's deliberately being withheld from civilians. If it's now being deliberately withheld from the National Guard, which is the state military, by the way, that should be a big red flag right there, because you know that the federal government wants all-consuming power. You know, under the Biden administration, they want all power centered in Washington. Screw the states. You know, they want to weaken the states as much as possible. They want to weaken the civilian population as much as possible so that they can't fight back. You know, because if you do fight back, they're coming after you with F-15s and nuclear bombs. But that should be sending a major red flag up to everybody that they're disarming the National Guard, or at least that's what the perception is when I heard that. You know, they don't have enough ammo to train, they don't have enough ammo to qualify, they don't have enough ammo, period. They're not training them how to use the rifles properly, in my opinion, from what I heard about it, because they're only training them to use the little ACOG pop-up sights, which are really nice. But what happens if that thing gets broken and you need to use the iron sights, you know, the little peephole with the front sight post up at the front of the rifle? They don't know how to use those. They don't want to know how to use them, or at least this captain didn't. So if they're crippling the National Guard, that means the National Guard units for each state, now they have no weight. They're the defense of the state, or they're supposed to be. So now they won't even be able to fight back. What happens if we get into a real situation with a real tyrannical government, which it looks like that might be coming? You know, people really, I've got to connect these dots, people. You got to put all of this together. You know, and I'm not trying to be, you know, sound like the guy on the sidewalk or the guy that, you know, the guy up in the hills. You know, the survivalist, the sovereign citizen guy, whoever you want. I'm not trying to sound like any of those, but these, you can't ignore stuff like this. Especially when this has happened before. Just, you know, just like the whole COVID nonsense. You can't ignore what they're doing. They've done it before, and that's not to the scale that they've done it. And they're going to keep repeating the cycle over and over and over again until they finally backed everybody into a corner. And then what? By that time, you don't have anything to defend yourself with. That was the whole reason for the Second Amendment to begin with, was to fight against a tyrannical government. It's not about hunting, sport shooting. Okay, it is to defend ourselves. As Susana Gracia Hupp said to Chuck Schumer, the Second Amendment was put there for people like me to defend myself against people like you. That was a great speech, by the way, she gave. And she's absolutely right. And you thought Chuck Schumer's head was going to explode when she said it. So we got to get a hold of our elected officials. Not that they're really going to do much of anything, because for the most part, they're pretty much all useless at this point. And I'm trust none of them. And ask them, find out what the hell's going on, have some see if they'll get some inquiries made. You know that they probably won't, but at least put the idea in their head. And if you can, try to get an appointment and speak to one of them. If you've got the time and the inclination to do so, try to get hold of your congressman's office, your assemblyman's office, your state senator, or even your federal senator, and try to sit down and say, I'd like to have an appointment to speak with my representative. You know, it's a pain in the ass to get it. I know I've done it. And make sure that if you finally do get to have a sit down with your elected representative, speak to your elected representative. Do not speak to the staffer. The staffer's not there to be your friend. They're there as a gatekeeper between you and the elected official. That's what they're there for. That's what they do. They're going to filter out information that they don't want to pass through. I know, and people say, well, no, they have to tell them everything. No, they don't. They don't tell them everything. I know it. I've seen them do it up close and personal. I've seen them do it. So, and that was in California too. I mean, I've actually got to speak face to face with a lot of my elected reps here, which is very easy. They make themselves pretty accessible, but they don't have the same kind of population they do in Los Angeles either. So it's a little easier for them. But make the inquiries, pose the questions to them and say, what the hell is going on? Because this reeks. This is not something that we should take lying down, because it could, I mean, they're going for broke. I mean, you got people like, you got Alex Jones out there, and you've got Mike Adams, and you've got all these other alternative media people out there saying, you know, they've lost, you know, they know they've lost, and they're going to hit back and everything. I don't really think they lost yet. And they don't think they've lost. and they're simply moving along with the agenda. So, you know, I don't take the attitude that, oh, they've lost and we really don't have anything to do. We really do. These giant tech people, these big pharma people, the Council on Foreign Relations, the banks, the major bank, world banks, you know, the Federal Reserve and all the people that control there, they're not stopping. They, you know, they may have a few setbacks, but they're not stopping their agenda. Disarming this country is the major part of their agenda. Because once they do that, there's, you know, what's to stop them? We have no way to defend ourselves. You know, unless we can be like Afghanistan, but I don't think the millennials in this country have anywhere near the backbone that the people in Afghanistan have. They still haven't been conquered. We've been there for 20 years. Alexander the Great couldn't conquer them. The hell made George W. Bush go think he could go in there and roll that country over and then pass it off to Barack Obama and then pass that off to Donald Trump? You can't. These people don't get steamrolled. Their way of thinking isn't like that. They just keep on going. I mean, these people hold grudges for generations. So, you know, against their own people. Never been conquered, and yet somehow we spent $2 trillion or $20 trillion on this 20-year-long war in Afghanistan for what reason? Why? So that our government can just trot all over our rights here at home while we're pretending that we're giving them the rights that we have. We're not giving them anything. We're there on behalf, like Smedley Butler talked about. We're there on behalf of somebody else. We're fighting for multinational globalists. New World Order types, and we're over there trying to squash these people who absolutely refuse to bow down to any of it. And like Ron Paul said, I got to read this after. We don't have enough time to get into it, but Ron Paul wrote an article about how the parallels between Afghanistan and Saigon are just, you know, it's almost perfect. We don't learn from our own damn history, mostly because people aren't taught history in schools anymore. I mean, it's unbelievable. But the fact that, you know, even when I was in the Marines, I thought I was doing the right thing. You know, I still thought I was doing the right thing, standing up to the communist, you know, Soviet Union and all of that. And protecting my country and all that. And then you realize that the Soviet Union was just another arm of the New World Order's control mechanism. It really blows your mind once you get all this stuff figured out. And we just got to think about this a little smarter. I believe, we're not getting out of it. Is George Washington's vision was correct? Okay. This country of ours is going to, we are going to go through a major battle. People are going to die. Millions of people are not going to make it through this. But in the end, if George Washington's vision is correct, it's been correct for the first two visions. We won't be like the United States like we are now, but we will be a pretty good country on the other side of it. And you really need to look up George Washington's vision and read it. It's really, really interesting. The last battle that we're supposed to fight is all this red moved in onto our country, and we had to fight it off, and eventually we were victorious. But we're not going to be flying the American flag anymore. There's going to be a whole new situation coming out of this. It's going, and if it happens sooner than later, we need to be ready for it. All right, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
No secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Revolution.
And there you go, everybody. Welcome back. That was just a liberal enjoying some fireworks on the 4th of July over the weekend. So, anyway, this is the For Liberty Show. I am your host, Nick. I'm also here with my partner in crime, Wendy, from Granada Forum here on freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Be sure to go to the website, get in the chat room, get, you know, make your voice heard. And if you got something for sale, go up to the advertising space. They're pretty inexpensive. Helps the station out. And if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, please click the donation button up at the top and send it our way. We are 100% listener supported, and we need all the help we can get staying on air. And as always, mainstream media is not telling you the truth. So the first hour, we covered some of the idiocy of gun control and the people who are pushing it and how they're using false flags and Hegelian dialectic to move it. But Ron Paul had a really great article that he wrote about how Afghanistan was essentially just like Saigon as we're leaving. You know, if anybody remembers how the we retreated from Vietnam, you know, they had to send the helicopters in to pick the people out of the embassy from the rooftops, and we left. And then, of course, the VC and the North Vietnamese Army came in and ran the whole place over, and, you know, we lost. You know, no disrespect to any Vietnam vets out there. You know, take my hat off to you guys. But we, that was not a war that we were supposed to win to begin with. So Ron Paul wrote this article, and he went on to say that the end of the 20-year U.S. war in Afghanistan was predictable. No one has conquered Afghanistan, and Washington was just as foolish as Moscow in the 1970s for trying. Okay, and so now the U.S. troops are rushing out of the country as fast as they can, having just evacuated the symbol of the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan, Bagram Air Base. That was our our real big one over there. Well, maybe not as dramatic as the fall of Saigon in 75, where the military helicopter scrambled to evacuate personnel from the roof of the U.S. embassy. The lessons remain the same, and it remains unlearned. Okay. Attempting to occupy control and remake a foreign country into Washington's image of the United States won't work. And this is true no matter how much money is spent on how many lives are snuffed out. In Afghanistan, no sooner are the U.S. troops vacating an area than the Taliban fighters swoop in and take over. The Afghan army seems to be more or less just kind of disappearing. The weekend, the Taliban took control of a key district in the Kandahar province as Afghan soldiers disappeared after fighting. Or this weekend they did. The U.S. Is estimated to has spent nearly $100 billion training the Afghan army and their police force. But the real, it's probably a hell of a lot more than that. So for all that money and 20 years of training, the Afghan army cannot do its job. You know, I would like to say either they can't do it or they won't do it. So that's either quite a statement about the quality of the training, the quality of the army, or some combination of the two. Whatever the case, okay, I'm not sure I'm the only American wondering whether or not we can get a refund. The product is clearly faulty. And speaking of wasted money, in April, Brown University's Cost of War project calculated the total cost of the Afghanistan war at more than $2 trillion. And that means millions of Americans have been made poor for a predictably failed project. It also means the thousands of the well-connected contractors and companies that lurk around the U.S. Capitol Beltway pushing war have become much, much richer. Okay, that's U.S. foreign policy in a nutshell, taking money from the middle-class Americans and transferring it to the elites of the U.S. military and foreign policy establishments. It's welfare for the rich. And the cost of war projects also estimated that the war took more than 250,000 lives. So the Biden administration may believe it's saving face by installing a military command of nearly 1,000 troops inside the U.S. embassy in Kabul, but this is foolish and dangerous. Such a move establishes that the U.S. embassy as a legitimate military target rather than a diplomatic outpost. I mean, has anybody at the Pentagon or the State Department ever thought about this? Plans to occupy the airport in Kabul are also unlikely to work. Does anyone think that having come this far, an emboldened and victorious Taliban are going to sit by as U.S. or allied military occupy Kabul airport? Trillions of dollars are wasted. Millions are either killed or displaced from their homes for nothing. Okay, the lesson of Afghanistan are simple. The lessons: bring all the U.S. troops home, defend the United States as necessary, and leave the rest of the world to its own business. We've tried it the other way, and it doesn't work. This is what George Washington was talking about. Stop the entangling alliances. Don't sit there and, you know, try to force our way into everybody else. You know, take care of home first. But since these big companies and such and globalists and the bankers all make tons of money off of people slaughtering each other. And by the way, they don't care about you. They could care less about you. You're cannon fodder to them. You know, they don't care. They're making all that money. They don't give it. They want to start a war. The Rockefellers made the millions off of the Vietnam War, supplying both sides of the conflict. Okay, they were supplying the U.S. military with products, whatever military gear through their factories and such. And then they were supplying the other side of the military, the North Vietnamese Army, but not directly, but they were still making tons of money. They were sending raw goods over to these other countries to be refined, ones that didn't have an embargo or had a war situation with Vietnam. So they would sell their product to them, and then the Rockefellers would be like, hey, we don't know what they do with it. They just asked us to fill an order. And they would, these companies over in the Soviet Union or to wherever they shipped them to, would make the products, send the products over to the NVA, and they would be armed militarily too. The Rockefellers made a fortune off of getting us killed. And over a million Vietnamese. Why? All for a buck. A buck in control. The mother of the Rothschilds, I forget what her name is, but of the original five, the ones who started the five banks in Europe, was asked one time about a conflict that was going on and asked if she thought there would be a war. And she said, nope, my sons won't allow it. That's how much control they have. And moving forward, as they always do, what do we wind up with? We wind up with these giant think tanks. Bilderberg, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. They're all making these damn decisions for everybody all over the world, and all they're interested in is eliminating you and making money doing it. Meanwhile, telling you that it's your patriotic duty to go over there so that they can make millions of dollars and basically get you killed. And now we have, this is a new one. This one, I guess, has been going on for a little while. I don't know. Wendy, are you still there, by the way? Guess not. She'll come back. But I guess this has been going on since the 1980s, 1982. This company called Allen & Company has been sponsoring. And if you don't know who Allen & Company, they're an under-the-radar Wall Street underwriter. You know, they're under the radar, but they underwrite these IPOs, and they're an advisor for other big tech acquisitions when one big company wants to buy another. Okay, they were the underwriters for Google's IPO, Facebook's IPO, Twitter's IPO. They were also co-managing LinkedIn's IPO. And IPO is initial public offering, by the way, when the company goes public. So they advised Facebook in 2014 of its acquisition of WhatsApp. eBay and PayPal during their 2015 separation, AOL when it was acquired by Verizon, and so, you know, the list goes on. They're heavily involved when in big tech and trying to make tons of money and taking everything over. So now, up in Sun Valley, Idaho, they're having their own big tech version of the Bilderberg Group. Zuckerberg is going to be there. Tim Cook is going to be there. Comcast CEO Brian Roberts is going to be there. And as always, the CFR, President Richard Haass, is going to be there. Aside from other people from, you know, big tech, mainstream media, you know, and politicians or people involved in politics for a 5-day conference. And by the way, if you ever want to look up Sun Valley, it's real interesting. It's up in the hills in the middle of nowhere in Idaho. So that started today. And given what has ever come out of the Bilderberg meetings and the Trilateral Commission meetings and Council on Foreign Relations and all of that, we probably have a lot to be worried about. At least I would think so. So basically what they do is they find ways to consolidate their power. If you're a little startup company, you know, and you get big enough where you could start siphoning off profits from these companies, they try to find a way to buy your company up. And a lot of people sell out. And they sell out for some big money, too. They're never going to have to worry about working again the rest of their lives. And you have to wonder, given the amount of censorship that has been going on with big tech, especially during the last few years, especially when it came to Donald Trump as president, conservative patriots groups and all of that on their platforms, or are they publishers? That's been another big argument. You have to wonder what they've got in mind now. What's the next trick up their sleeve? Personally, I would say get off of Twitter, get off of Facebook. I mean, in some cases it's necessary, but you know, get off of the big ones and go to the smaller ones. Go to something like Gab. Only problem is Gab is it's still a little tweaky for whatever reason. You know, but there and Parler, that just went out to lunch. I don't know what happened with it. It just kind of went to the wayside, disappeared, and once they had to implement all those new rules, it never worked right again. Not that it was a great platform. It needed a lot of development, but it just didn't work right afterwards. I mean, nothing on it worked right. But there's also MeWe. There's a host of other small ones. You know, get away from YouTube. There's Rumble now. There's BitChute. You know, there are other platforms to start doing this stuff. So they're having their big powwow up there as we speak. They got mainstream media reps up there. Brian Roberts from Comcast, Sherry Redstone from Viacom CBS, Warner Media's Jason Kilar, he's the CEO, David Zaslav from Discovery, Diane Sawyer's going to be up there, Anderson Cooper's going to be up there, Van Jones is going to be up there, or at least they've been invited.
Yeah, right.
Andrew Sorkin's going to be up there. He's from CNBC. Gail King from CBS. Thomas Friedman. Tom Brokaw. They're all going to be up there trying to figure out how to carve up the digital world at this point and control its content. Remember, Klaus Schwab was talking about the great reset. They found out a while ago that these social media platforms, they are able to propagandize people more efficiently than Hollywood was able to do with their movies. And right. Hollywood was good at it.
Right.
So it's going
to
be,
I think it's a way of controlling us. They're looking to eliminate us.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They're looking to a way either to pass legislation or figure something out. And then with this, I hate to say this, on our show today, even though we weren't on the air because we couldn't get on the air because we had a little technical difficulty. Sometimes that happens. We talked about that God, what is it? What's it called? Let me take a look at it here. It's in the vaccine, and
the graphene.
Graphene. G-R-A-P-H-E-N-E, and because they've put the graphene also in the vaccine,
right?
Which, unfortunately, it magnetizes your body as well as it is a frequency in your body, so that when they turn on 5G or they have stuff going on, that they can kind of try to start programming you. And it's like a cyborg. I mean, it's crazy that they put this in a vaccine, but they did. They put this in the vaccine, and it's in the vaccine. It's scary, Larry. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's genocide. But they put this graphene in the vaccines now, so people, 43% have it probably in them, and they're just easily swayed, and they don't even realize it that they're working on the frequencies in their body. So, I just keep plugging. We keep plugging away at what we do.
Well, I guarantee
they can't take the internet. It's the only thing about the internet is that the internet is so big, even though they've ruined a lot of platforms, and they have. They've ruined a ton of platforms.
Well, this is what that conference.
Skype was one of them.
Skype. I don't even want to get into Skype because I've already said my piece. But I guarantee you, this is what they're probably. I don't know this for a fact because, I'm not there, but I guarantee you they're probably finding ways to propagandize the agenda more on the social media about who they're going to take down to the point where this is how far they're taking it. And if anybody saw this article, the Attorney General of Washington, D.C. has subpoenaed Facebook for data on all the users. I mean, you know how many millions of people, 100 million or a billion people, whatever, use Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So they want to
to
subpoena Facebook for all the users that have spread COVID-19 misinformation. Their version of misinformation. They're making a list. So they filed this on June 24, and they demanded that Facebook identify all groups, pages, and accounts that have violated the platform's far-reaching COVID-19 misinformation rules. I guarantee you I'm on that list probably more than once. They also want Facebook to release an internal study that looked at vaccine hesitancy among its users. Media reports on the study in March claimed that it showed that the non-rule-breaking Facebook content may be causing substantial harm. Because to put this information out there, it doesn't break any rules, but, it's according to them, it's causing harm. So if they were to comply with the subpoena, it would impact millions of people. I mean, we already know how many people are using it, or roughly anyway. They've already taken down more than 18 million pieces of content from Facebook and Instagram for violating the COVID-19 misinformation rules. And who even knows what the hell those are? It's anything that doesn't go along with what Fauci says. Is that violation of the rules? It must be, because I keep getting flagged all the time.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it's definitely Orwellian. George Orwell. It's Big Brother.
Yeah.
Ever how you want to look at it. But the problem is that if they try to pass more legislation, if they continue to come after alternative media like ourselves, who are telling the truth and not telling the propaganda. And people under the Smith-Mudd Act, the mainstream media has been lying from the get-go, and none of them get in trouble because under the Smith-Mudd Act, they got put under the National Defense Authorization Act. It needs to be repealed because they just literally lie on TV, and nothing happens to them.
This is how ridiculous Facebook is, okay? One of the few times I use it, I put up a post because I thought this was funny. Somebody wrote on a piece of paper. Now you got to listen to what I'm saying on this piece of paper. This is what they wrote. They wrote fear strikes. In 2000, we had Y2K is going to destroy everything. 2001, anthrax is going to kill us all. 2002, West Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2003, SARS is going to kill us all. Then 2005, bird flu is going to kill us all. 2006, E. coli. 2008, financial collapse is going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu. In 2012, the Mayan calendar predicts the world ending. In 2013, North Korea is going to cause World War II. And so on and so on. All little things like that. This post got flagged because it said, this is false because not every election year has a disease outbreak. It's like, when did this thing ever say anything about an election year?
Oh.
This is how ridiculous they are at this point. You know, and what you some and I guarantee you, I'm waiting for this to get nailed. Oh, it already got nailed. There's a report from Technocracy News about the European Union reporting 1.5 million vaccine injuries and over 15,000 deaths from the vaccine. So of course this got flagged. This got flagged by the fake book checkers saying that the vaccines go through many tests for safety and effectiveness and are then monitored closely. Yeah, bull. Okay. So this goes on to say that the European database of suspected drug reaction reports is Eudora Vigilance, which also tracks reports of injuries and deaths following the experimental COVID-19 vaccines. They maintain the database is maintained at Eudora Vigilance only for countries in Europe who are part of the EU. Which is about 27 countries. And they came out with a list of how many people were, what the disorders were. Here's total reactions from the mRNA vaccine, Tazinamarin, you know, gives you a little bit of numbers. And there was made by Pfizer, 7,420 deaths, 560,256 injuries. And it breaks it down. 16,000 blood and lymphatic system disorders, 12,000 cardiac disorders, 101 congenital familial and genetic disorders, and 7,000 ear and laryngeal. I mean, it goes on. There are a lot of people getting sick. They have the breakdown for Moderna. They have the breakdown from AstraZeneca. What's happening with all of those? They have the breakdowns from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And, but where's our mainstream media? Where are they? When are they reporting on this?
They're nowhere to be had. I think it was last Friday's show, our show on Friday. I found out the CDC came from my good buddy Marsh. If I'm not mistaken, and let me just take a quick look at my notes. One second, guys. If I'm not mistaken, the CDC. Is 400,000 injuries. And this is just the United States. That's not deaths. That's 400,000 that they know about that have been injured from the vaccine.
Right.
400,000. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
That's not counting the deaths in America from the vaccine.
And there's more of that over in Europe than there is even here.
Of course, right, because they got 1.5 million, 15,000 and a half, 15,500.
Well, and people have become skeptical in the U.S., it's not because of alternative media. It's because people are looking at the results that the alternative media are the ones reporting, not mainstream media.
Right.
And they're seeing this with their own eyes. They're seeing people get killed from this stuff. They're seeing people get all screwed up. And they're like, wait a minute, we're not taking this. And the government and Fauci and the rest of them are saying, don't question us. Just do what you're told. You know, we have to stop this vaccine hesitancy. The vaccine, Facebook is out there saying the vaccines are perfectly safe and they've been tested, which they haven't been tested. And they're just ramming this. And now, on top of all that, because they, you know, there's still an investigation of the origins of it.
Yeah.
The EcoHealth, which is a Fauci-funded organization, Congress has put in a document request with them, and they're refusing to give it up. Refusing to give up anything about the Wuhan, anything, any documentation related to the Wuhan laboratory and the possible leak that happened out of there. And what was going on there, because they suspended gain-of-function research on the U.S. soil, which is why they had to move it to China to begin with. They were going to be violating some serious laws here. And now they're refusing, you know, we're trying to find, you know, this was a global mess. Number one, it was and it wasn't. I think the real mess was what started coming after the vaccine started getting put out there, but they just used it. But they, you know, they found it was a coronavirus and it was COVID-19, and it's now it's COVID-19D or Delta. Now it's Delta Plus is coming out, which they're set to act on this coming fall, from what I understand, and start this whole mess all over again.
All right.
But Daszak, who is he's the president of EcoHealth Alliance, is just refusing to comply with the document request from their House Republicans related. And I guarantee you this administration and the Democrats who are running the House and the Senate, they're not going to push it either. He's basically just saying nope. And what the Republicans need to do is take that request and turn it into a subpoena. See, this is why I never understand our government, the people in our government, is they always try to tiptoe around everything. When, you know, when it comes to stuff that might be a little sensitive, they try to pussyfoot around it. They have no spine. They got no balls. It's like, stop pussyfooting around this. If you guys really wanted to get to it, subpoena the documents. And if they refuse to return them over then you arrest them because you have to comply with the subpoena. And Congress has subpoena powers. You know, screw the request. So every time they do something like this, this whole nightmare that they turn the world into, it just becomes more and more suspicious. And all they do is make it so that people don't. They're like, "Why? I'm not getting the vaccine. I don't trust you guys anymore." At this point, I don't know how many people trust mainstream media, our government on any level.
Right.
Our bureaucracies, you know, anything, the banks, any of it, it's all gearing up. And I hate to sound like a downer, but, you know, you got to take, it's not a downer to inform people of the facts and then say, hey, prep for it. Okay, get ready for it. That's going to be the solution. Stop complying with what the government tells you to do. Don't, you know, anytime they tell you to do something that's inherently violates your rights, you flip them the bird, tell them to go away. And it's going to be real interesting if Joe Biden can actually pull this one off. You're not going to believe what he says on this one.
Special focus on five ways to make gains in getting those of you who are unvaccinated vaccinated. Because here's the deal. We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate those eager to get their first shot and their second shot, for that matter, if they needed a second. Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oft times door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
Okay.
Okay, he sounds pretty Nazi to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like a total Gestapo.
Yeah. If I have one of these people show up on my doorstep with a clipboard and whatever, and they tell me, sir, you vaccinated. Number one, it's none of your business.
I'm not discussing my doctor privilege confidentiality. Well, get off my property.
Yeah. I'm not telling them my name. I'm not telling them anything. I will tell them in no uncertain terms, you do a 180. Do not go to the left, to the right. You do a 180. You walk straight off my property, because if you come back, I'm going to put you on the ground and have you arrested for trespassing. Don't make it get worse than that. But it does sound very Nazi-esque what he's doing. I mean, this is exactly what they did in Germany.
In Germany, they vaccinated the people. And that's how they got rid of so many people. They broke their systems down.
Yeah, they went door to door hunting people when they figured out where everybody was.
Right.
You know, and so now, you know, they're dividing every. You know, like Fauci said, there's two Americas now. There's the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. So they're already putting those pieces in play. It was like in Nazi Germany, there was the Aryan Jew or the Aryan, the Aryans. And then there was the Jewish mongrel races and the gypsies and whatever else, everybody else. So there was the pure blood Germans and then there was everybody else. So they created that division. And now they're using the same tactics here in the United States. So same stupid Nazi tactics to create the division so that the people who are vaccinated are going to get all the special privileges and feel like they're all superior to everybody else. And they can look down on people who refuse to take the vaccine. This is the scenario I believe that they're trying to set up. They can look down on people who won't get the vaccine as lesser than themselves. And once you start doing that, you start creating the mindset of, I don't care what happens to these people. And we've already seen that kind of mentality happen with people screaming at people who refuse to wear the mask, people who won't get the vaccine. I mean, these far left brainwashed idiots go out there and absolutely lose their damn minds. And Biden, not only is he threatening to attack American citizens with F-15s and nuclear bombs, now he's talking about going door to door.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty scary, Larry.
You can't make this thing up.
It's something out of a horror movie, Nick. They want to go door to door. And listen, if they go door to door for vaccines, they're going to go door to door and tell you how many carrots you can have, how many people are living in your house, how many TVs you have, how much money you make. I mean, what kind of guns? I mean, it will never stop.
No, it never. It will never stop.
It will never stop.
You know, that's how the communists always ended up doing it. They want absolute control over every aspect of your life. And look at how much control they have over us already. They tell you the size of your toilet tank in your house. They tell you how big that can be, which, by the way, they don't really work worth a damn either because there's not enough water in them. They tell you, you name me one aspect of your life that the government doesn't have its nose in somewhere. You know, even when it comes to your own rights, look at all the stuff. Again, we talked about social media. Look at all the stuff that they're trying to regulate on social media, licensing of arms. They've ignored due process multiple times just to be able to nail somebody and get them put in jail. And then claim that, oh, no, we have to have due process. So they twist everything around as much as they want and people get screwed. One of the other solutions that people can do is they can stop being a U.S. citizen. You know, call up the American States Assembly, look them up on the internet and get the paperwork filled out and become a state citizen or an American national. You know, and you're not going to completely divorce yourself from everything, but you're not going to have to, if you know what you're doing, you're not going to have to put up with a lot of this stuff. I mean, unless it really comes down to a bloodbath, which, you know, would probably just suit the people in our government just fine.
All right.
But when it comes to this kind of stuff, I mean, we said over and over, they want this to go on forever, and there's this Communist Party. Science. She calls herself a scientist. She's a behavioral scientist. Whatever that is, you know. I mean, I kind of understand it's something to do with psychology and all of that. But her name is Susan Michie over in England, and she will not answer this question about her ideology affecting her judgment. Okay, you got to kind of listen to this. And this is how they do it too. They absolutely refuse to acknowledge what they're doing. Unless they can twist it in a way that makes it look like, well, that you like this. And you know, like Klaus Schwab said, you're going to have nothing, you're going to own nothing, and you're going to like it. So, but when you actually corner these, you know, back these people into a corner, they will not answer your questions. I mean, you see that on these man on the street interviews all the time. They won't answer the questions. This is on a show called Good Morning Britain. So this was televised over there.
Unbelievable, Nick.
just said, unbelievable. We shouldn't lift restrictions at all on the 19th, but we should carry on exactly as we are. Am I right? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, lifting restrictions will increase transmission. And with all the problems that I've just talked about, it doesn't seem to me the best time to do that.
In fact, if you remember,
a few weeks ago, we actually postponed lifting restrictions because the situation was so serious. But the situation's even more serious now than it was then.
Listen, there's a point I really have to put to you, and you'll be aware of this, because there's been a lot of commentary about this in the British media, about you. And it's to do with your politics. And you know what I'm going to ask you. You've been a member of the Communist Party for about 40 years now. You're still a member. And we know that communism is basically statist. We look at communist countries around the world and we see that they are tremendously top-down dominant and controlled societies that they rule over. And I just wonder, and I'm putting this question on behalf of those who wonder about your politics, if your politics actually informs your sense of control. It's not just the medical arguments, but you have a kind of a political bent to want the state to tell people what to do.
I've come on your programme as a scientist, as do all people who come onto your programme as scientists. They come on to talk about the evidence, relevant theories, how we approach our scientific disciplines. And you don't ask other scientists about politics. So I'm very happy to speak about science, which is what my job is, and to limit it to that.
So you're saying that your politics doesn't inform your opinion on this subject?
I'm saying that I agreed to come on this programme as a scientist, and I'm very happy to talk to you about the issues that you're raising as a scientist, is the same for other scientists that you invite onto the program.
That's a perfectly fair answer. Thank you for that.
She's basically said that I'm not answering your question about whether my political ideology influences my scientific method or, you know, on all of that. And of course it does. This is how communists do it. How do you think Joseph Mengele wasn't influenced by the Nazi party and his Nazi ideology?
Of course.
Yeah. So of course he does. She's been in the Communist Party for 40 years. Of course it's going to influence her ideology and how she looks at everything. You know, it's going to be her. This is why her stance on we must continue to wear the masks forever and everybody must get the vaccine, even if it's forced, because communists are the state rules everything. And by the way, if anybody calls themselves a Democrat socialist, I hate to break the news to you, but you're a communist. Because you believe exactly the same thing. So she's not denying it. If you listen to her, she never denied the guy's question one time. You know, she just kind of acted all snotty and said, you know, I didn't come on the show here for you to ask me these kind of questions. It's like, I think it's very relevant. And if you ever listen, you think that Fauci's political ideology isn't influencing his decision of what he's doing? Well, that and a truckload of cash that they're handing him. You know, it's always like that. You can't separate yourself from it. That's part of who people are. We are driven by our own personal ideals, our own personal wants and needs and all of that. If she's a communist, she's absolutely driven by the communist ideology, regardless of what she might say. I'm not going to discuss that. And it's like, come on. We know what it is. We know how communists think. We've read the books. You know, Marx put it all out there. You had Cleon Skousen put his book out there, you know, telling everybody what the deal was. And the whole COVID nonsense, every single aspect of it was just another way to grab authoritarian rule. And that's all the communists are. You know, they may not come out and say it directly, but guess what? It dominates everything. And of course they're all run. If you remember how communism works, remember who funded the Bolshevik Revolution back in 1917. You know, that was the Kunlo Bank out of New York. Okay, they wanted the Bolshevik Revolution. You think that the money powers right now aren't frothing at the bit to have a big revolution here in the United States, and so they can step in at some point and take everything over? I mean, I really wish I could just snap my fingers and just everybody would wake up to the fact. Because just talking about it all the time till I'm blue in the face with people. And it doesn't matter. They could be hardcore Republican conservative or hardcore liberal Democrat. You start talking about this and they look at you, both sides look at you like you're from outer space. And what's the term that they always use, Wendy? You know it.
What's one of the things they always say?
Conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy theory. Oh, yeah. There you
I always
go.
Say you're a conspiracy theorist.
I just handle the facts, ma'am. That's it. Just the facts.
Oh, they're not interested in facts.
I know.
Well, see, this, and like you, like I said, that little communist lady on that interview.
Yeah.
She's not interested in facts either, because the facts have been coming out about the masks. The masks aren't any good for you. Okay, they've been causing more problems than they've been solving. People have been getting sick off of them. You're breathing in your own toxins, the entire role. Plus, maybe they put, at one point, I think we were talking this morning about how they were putting the graphene in the masks and everything. And she's there. No, put them on. It's like, well, here's all the evidence against that. No, I don't want to see that. I just want the state to be able to tell you what to do all the time. So it's all big government. It's all a big takeover. I would tell everybody, please learn to grow food. Get your own gardens going if you can, if you have that ability. Make sure you got some way to keep in touch with everybody. Satellite phones are a little pricey, depending on what kind you get, but get together.
Keep your landlines.
Yeah.
If you have them.
Get together with people in your area. Form groups and talk to each other. Know who everybody is.
Keep some flashlights and candles, because we are hearing stories sometime in September. And that's just a few weeks away. These people are evil and don't care. So. We pray that everything's going to work out and just
But Mike Adams was talking about having them shut the grid off.
So it's Deborah Tavares, www.stopthecrime.net. And Mike Adams is what Critical News.
Mm-hmm.
Critical News is Mike Adams, and www.stopthecrime.net is Deborah Tavares. Go to their websites, check them out. Great stuff, great information.
Yeah, they're planning something big, and I have a feeling that this tech conference up in Idaho is going to be a major part of it. I mean, here's the thing: people, if they go in there and they start shutting the grid off, or if they turn the internet off, think about what they've done. They've got everybody really kind of dependent on social media. No, not people who are older. Most people, older people, don't care about it. And I'm talking like people who are up in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and what, they don't care about the internet, could care less. Just give me the rotary phone and we're good. But this next generation under us, the millennial generation, they're totally dependent on their cell phones for everything.
Oh yeah.
You turn that grid off and see what happens. It's like that one comedian said. You ever see what happens when you take a phone away from a millennial? They look like they got hit in the head with a shovel.
And people are going to go crazy if they can't get cigarettes for 2 days. You have no idea.
If they shut the power grid down, like they did that big test down in Texas. And now they got the Chinese building a wind farm down there so they can tap into the grid too. By the way, the Chinese always have our best intentions in mind when they do things like that. I mean, we really gotta start learning to live off grid. And I have people tell me, it's like, well, what's gonna happen if the electricity goes down? Well, then learn to live without electricity. We did it for tens of thousands of years. I think we can do it again. We've only had electricity around for about 140 years, maybe.
Right.
You know, I mean, Ben Franklin, everybody said, well, Ben Franklin with the key and the kite. No, Ben Franklin, all he did was an experiment to find out if lightning was electricity. Okay, yeah, it was. But putting up a power grid, that really didn't start until Thomas Edison came into play. And he didn't get it right until Nikola Tesla came in and created the AC generators. So we've had a very, very short period of time in the existence of man where we've actually had electricity and things got a lot easier. And it's like, well, you better start to unlearn some of that stuff. Learn how to get... learn how to grow your own food. Learn how to hunt. Learn how to fish.
Yeah.
Okay. Learn how to replenish your soil, because a lot of these big industrial farms don't do that. I mean, they put the EPA recommended or demand regulated fertilizer down, but it's really not all that great. It doesn't really add anything back to the soil, which is why the topsoil is getting all screwed up. But, you know, learn how to replenish your soil, recycle all, you know, you get, you know, your vegetable waste, dump it in the garden, man, put it back into the dirt, you know, raise, if you got the land and the resources, you know, raise goats, raise, you know, whatever, some, you know, cattle, food animals and things like that. You know, you don't have to have a herd of 100, but, you know, one or two should suffice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and that makes you have some extra food for your animals if you've got cats or dogs, because that's just something. And the only reason we're seeing this is because, like, we are hearing it from Deborah Tavares. We are hearing it from Mike Adams. Mm-hmm. These are legit sources, and they do lots of research. So, I mean, even myself, you know, it just, you know, try, you know, I hate to say this, but you might want to talk to your neighbors, because
I always,
because, you know, if something does go down, and it's more than so many hours, all your neighbors and your stuff are going to, you know, someone's going to be out of something, or,
yeah,
you know, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, you're not going to make it through this on your own.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. I think, you know, this is just me kind of trying to look forward as best I can and see what's going on. I think when they do start doing this, they're going to be counting on the urban areas, especially because, you know, they got people living on top of each other in the big cities. As you should know, you live in L.A. I lived there for a long time. They are going to start eating each other alive. They're going to and these big authoritarians are going to count on that. Why? So they can clamp down even more. You know, this is what a lot of them aren't aware of. I tried to get that through people's heads, talking to them, saying, you know, Los Angeles was great 30 years ago. It's not great anymore. You don't want to be here. People are not going to be able to escape Los Angeles for a couple of reasons. Number one, you got the ocean on one side. So unless you have a boat, you're not going anywhere in that direction. The other direction, you've got hundreds of miles of desert. Okay, and so unless you have provisions for that, you're not making it through the desert anyway. And don't forget, a lot of people have forgotten about this. Don't forget the Emerald Necklace. Remember, Wendy, all that land that they bought up, the feds bought up around Los Angeles?
Okay. Yeah, they're buying up houses, and
yeah.
I know that the Brookshire Hathaway is buying up stuff, and yeah.
Well, no,
they are
up in the mountain ranges around L.A. The federal government, it circles around Los Angeles. They bought up all this land, and then told it people, "You can't go on anymore. This is federal land." Which, by the way, again, go back to the Constitution. The federal government doesn't have any right to own that land, any of it.
Right.
Okay, Constitution says they have a very limited amount of land that they can have in for forts and armories and things of that nature, but they cannot own gigantic swaths of land that, if you read the 10th Amendment, belong to the states. They can't just come in there and annex the property, but they did. Why? Because nobody stood up to them when they should have.
No.
The states should have. When the Bureau of Land Management came in and said, this is now federal property, the states should have stood up and said, if you don't get out of here, I'm mobilizing the National Guard and we're kicking you out.
Right.
And that's the end of it. You do not own this land. You are not stealing it from us. But no, what did they do? They got a bunch of cronies into the state government who signed a piece of paper and willingly handed it over to the feds. And this is how the Bundy Ranch situation happened.
Yeah,
this is how the situation up in Oregon handed, where they killed Lavoie Finicum.
Yeah.
You know, really,
this is both of those incidences were under the Obama administration.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, who mentioned? Somebody mentioned something about Vegas, Nick, that it was some type of incident.
In Las Vegas?
Yeah. Did you hear that when they were talking?
No.
Oh.
Oh, that was this morning. No, that was what was being played was it was Bob who was playing at it, but it was coming through so badly I could only make out like less than half of it.
Okay, all right. We'll have to try to do some more research on that, because that was just the thing that happened in Vegas a couple of years. Some people died. People did get hurt, but there was to sit there and say there was one shooter, that was crazy. This was coming from various sources that there were numerous shooters, and no one really ever got a straight answer out of Vegas. It was shut up. The mainstream media stopped talking about it. They didn't
the shooter out of the hotel?
Yeah.
Years ago? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it just clammed like a clam. And anybody who tried to do research on this was a lot of people ended up getting hurt, dead. Yeah. Police forces were threatened. It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want anything straying from the official narrative.
Yes. Yeah.
Not anything. This is why if the other thing people can do is if they find something that looks like it's going to get swiped off of YouTube, you know, if YouTube's going to shut it down or Facebook is going to shut it down, make a copy of it, especially if it's a video, make a copy of it.
Oh yeah.
Or audio, make a copy of it. Have it on your computer so you can get it. I mean, I know there's a ton of these kind of things out there, but you know, if you find something you think's going to disappear, grab it and then repost it. I've done that and they've pulled it right down again a couple of times on me. But so just on a couple of other things, just so people know, I just got to make sure that everybody knows this, because it is, and you know, we are trying to report the news as best we can. And National Geographic, I don't know, you know, instead of printing magazines about Africa and topless Native women running around, they come out and they say that fireworks are now racist on the 4th of July because the smoke disproportionately affects Black people. I don't know how that works.
What?
This is what they get. This is National Geographic. They put it up in a tweet. It's racist because it affects Black people.
What is racist?
Fireworks.
Oh my Lord. Okay, these people are on drugs.
I mean, they are, yeah. There's always something new. I mean, there really is. It's always something ridiculous. It's always, everything is racist. Another little lighter bit of news is over the week, last weekend, Donald Trump had a rally down in Florida. There was estimated in the arena 45,000 people to show up, and Joe Biden had his on the a live stream. Only 10,000 people tuned in. So, all right. Anyway, Wendy, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Nick.
Okay, everybody out there, I will see you on Friday on Granada Forum. So tune in for that.
God bless.
You can't be good, bad. Bye.
Bye-bye. Nick? We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution Radio.